Hebrews 11. If you're not there, you might turn there now. And last week we looked at verses 1 and 2, and I don't know that we'll make a long series out of this series of looking at some verses here from Hebrews 11, but I did feel the need to continue on with the theme of faith from last week. And last week we talked about how to have or how to obtain a good report. Verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 11 tell us that through faith or by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And we talked about what faith is and how they obtained it, etc. But now today I want to talk to you about and preach to you a message that I've entitled Foundational Faith. Foundational faith. And the reason that the title of the message is Foundational Faith is as Hebrews 11 is the chapter about faith and verses 1 and 2 gave us the introduction to a little bit about what faith is, the very next verse is of great importance because it lays the foundation for all other faith. What we are going to talk about right now is the first part of faith that if you and I are going to go on and obtain a good report by faith and continue on with this growing in faith to faith, there's a foundation that we need to lay. And without this faith, you will not be able to access the other faith that is required for us. And that's in verse number 3 of Hebrews 11. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I want to preach to you from that text right there, Hebrews 11, 3, this message entitled Foundational Faith. Let's pray and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for giving me a wonderful opportunity to stand behind this pulpit again for another Sunday and open up your word and preach to your people what your word says. Thank you for the privilege. And now, Lord, it is a great responsibility and I need you, dear Lord, to fill me with your spirit and empty me of myself and my pride and my own goals and ambitions and fill me instead with your goals and ambitions, your desire that your word would feed your people and anything else that you want planned or have planned through this preaching of your word. I pray, dear Lord, that your work would be accomplished. And I yield myself to you as the vessel that you can use. Lord, I pray then that you would give all of us humility, a tender heart that's ready to receive your word. And Lord, would you rebuke Satan who would fill our mind and our heart with doubt? And Lord, would you rather fill our hearts with faith? And help us, Lord, to grab a hold of this foundational faith. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Foundational faith. According to Hebrews 11, 3, the faith that we start out with, and I'm putting my words in there, but the faith that's mentioned in Hebrews 11, 3, is an understanding that the worlds were framed by the word of God. If we could put it this way, it is this important thing. It is important for us to understand, very first off, that God is the creator of the world. Without that faith, you cannot move on to the others. If you pretend to believe the Bible and believe in the God of the Bible and have faith in God, but you doubt whether or not the earth was created literally in 6 days by God speaking it into existence, then you're fooling yourself. This is the foundational faith. And I realize that may not be popular in our society. We live in a city here that is known for its connection to a great university. But let me tell you that God's word is more reliable than any university textbook. God's word is what you and I can trust. And God's word says that God created the world by his word. And that's a foundational faith. A preacher and a commentator put it this way. After all the acts of faith which have ever been exercised in this world, perhaps there is none which is really more strong or which requires higher confidence in God than the declaration that this vast universe has been brought into existence by a word. Listen, that's something that you and I have to take by faith because we have not seen it happen. It is something that we have to take by faith because it cannot be duplicated. It is something that we must trust God and take him at his word. And you might say, well, that's hard to believe or hard to understand. And may I remind you and point out to you that God makes zero apologies for his statement that he created the world. And he calls on you and me to just take him at his word. And I want to challenge you this morning to take God at his word, that he is the literal creator of the universe with his word. And I would encourage you with this fact: I've taken him at his word. And I stand here confidently behind this pulpit, unashamedly declaring what the word of God says, that God, by his word, created this world. There was no other instrument involved. There was no other individual involved. God did not use evolution to do it. He spoke it into existence by his word. Now, in this passage that we read here of Hebrews 11:3, there are six words that stand out to me. Those six words are these: faith, understand, worlds, framed, word, and appear. Now, there maybe would be other words that you might say, well, that's an important word too, and I won't argue the point with you. But I would say those are, as I studied the verse, those are the ones that stood out to me, and I want to take them in reverse order. So let's start with the last one that I gave you in that list, and that is the word appear. The Bible tells us here in Hebrews 11:3 that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, as we look around and we see the creation around us and anything that you can see, there's grass and trees and flowers, and there is blacktop out there. And within this building, there's the walls, the wood that makes it up, and the paint that covers that wood. And we go on, and even the synthetic materials and all of that that are in the building around us, that which is involved in nature, all of those things did not come from something that appeared in the past. There was a time in history when God created all of them. Now, he maybe didn't create them in their current form, i.e. polyester does not incur nature, right? I.e., you know, other synthetic materials. We realize that they do not exist in nature, but the particles that make them up were in existence at some point by the creation of Almighty God, by his spoken word. We live in a world, however, that relies heavily on what it can see. Brother Cohan mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. We are enamored with what we can see. A well-known statement that you've said before, or I should say you've heard before more than likely, and perhaps even said, is seeing is believing. That's a popular phrase. But the Bible tells us that the things that we see were created out of nothing by the one and only eternal God. I saw somebody post a picture this last week on a website, and it was a picture of them out in nature, and they referenced the fact that it was enjoyable to be out in nature and see the nature that God had created. And some smart aleck in the comments put in there, which God? There are thousands of them. Now, I didn't respond because I don't need more blood pressure raising in my life, all right? But what I wanted to say was this: there aren't thousands of gods in this world. Now, there may be thousands of gods, as in little g gods, that people worship that are actually devils, fallen angels, that have done maybe even great works and other things like that to get people to worship them rather than the true God. But friends, there is one true and living God. There is one eternal God. All of the rest that call themselves gods or are called gods are created beings who have rebelled against their creator. But there is one eternal God, and all of that we see was created out of nothing by that one eternal God. Let me share with you just a couple of verses. Maybe turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm going to read a verse to you from Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:6. You're going to turn to Jeremiah 10. Nehemiah 9:6 says, "Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, or host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. The one to whom that was written is the God who created all things. You're in Jeremiah 10, I trust. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12, where Jeremiah says, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. There is one God who created all that we see, and that is the eternal God. Genesis 1, and we will look at it here in just a little bit, but the very first verse in Genesis, in other words, the first verse in the Bible, puts it this way: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is what the Word of God says. So the first word is appear. The things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The second word is the word, word, where it says in Hebrews 11:3, as we go maybe back there, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word of God is what we're talking about in that second one, Word. Those who refuse to submit to the authority of God want us to believe that the formation of the world came from material that already existed. If you ask somebody who does not believe in the Bible's explanation of creation, they will tell you that somehow in the beginning of it all, there were some forms of particles that existed somehow, some way. They did exist somewhere, but the Bible tells us that that is not the case. The Bible tells us that God created it out of nothing. They would also have us to believe that the agent that God caused this material to form into organized structure that we see was some kind of a cosmic accident. So follow me with this on that. The Bible tells us that God created what we see out of things that do not appear. In other words, by his word. Those who refuse to believe God will tell us that somehow the particles already existed in the past, somehow. But then the Bible goes on to say that not only did God create the materials out of nothing, but God formed them into something that makes sense, i.e. creation, and a great example would be your body, which in many of the cases of the different functions that your body does, if one of them ceased to happen in the right order, you would drop over dead. God created us and put us into that form, that organization, by his word. They would have us believe that instead it was just some kind of cosmic accident. The old terminology, and I don't know if it's used anymore by those who want to put forth the idea of evolution, is that there was a big bang. I don't think they follow that anymore because it's been proven that that just doesn't work. But the idea that there would be some material and somehow there would be an explosion of those particles and out of that would come something that has order and design and can function in life, that is the idea that they would have us believe, whether it's a big bang or something else. The Bible tells us that rather it was God's word, that God spoke it into existence. Turn with me if you would, keep your place in Hebrews, but turn to Genesis chapter number 1. We already referenced verse 1, but let's look at the verses that explain to us that God, by his word, not only spoke these things into existence, but caused the particles to come together in a way that made sense. Genesis chapter number 1. We'll just look at the first 11 verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. In other words, it did not make sense. It was there, God created it, and it was, all the particles were there, but it was not formed into something like we see now. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, here's his word, let there be light. And there was light. By the way, this is before the sun was ever created. God created light first. What did that look like? I don't know, but it wasn't darkness. It was light. And God did it with his word. The particles were there. God had created everything, but he spoke it into existence by his word. Verse number 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So we might think of that as the atmosphere. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. You see the formation of things that make sense? And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he sees, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And we could continue, but we won't. But as we look at this passage of Scripture here and these verses, here's what I need you to understand. That God created these things, yes, but then he also, by his word, spoke them into existence in a form that would make sense. And this is important because it is a statement about the greatness and the power of Almighty God. Why is it not okay to skip over this and say, well, that's just Hebrews 11:3 or Genesis 1, it's not that important. I don't have to believe all of that. I can believe what the Bible says about Jesus, but not believe this, because to not believe what God has said is to call God a liar. And it is to deny the greatness and power of Almighty God. And that's what Satan wants to do. That's why he wants to get people who claim to be Christians to deny the creation and yet claim to believe in Christ. Because Satan is happy when God's people refuse to take God at his word and give him all of the power, honor, and glory that he is worthy of. Satan is always out to steal God's glory. And so he'll turn our minds and our hearts from the truth any way he can. Revelation 4:11, let me read this to you. It says this, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Because God is the creator, all things were created for him. And because all things were created for him, he is the only one who is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And Satan hates that. You and I ought to be defenders of God's honor and glory. I realize that we do not have to defend God in the fact that he cannot defend himself. I don't mean it that way. But I mean that God put you and me here on this earth for a reason, and that is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And so we must stand upon the word of God, and by God's grace and with his word, kindly but firmly defend the glory of God and say, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care who thinks that I'm an idiot and a backwoodsman who doesn't understand science. God's right. They're wrong. I stand with God's word. That's what God wants you and me to do. Which leads me now to the third word from Hebrews 11:3, and that is the word framed. Framed. Notice that it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Notice that the word is not created. He did not say, we understand through faith that the worlds were created by the word of God. Now, he did create them, we see that, but that's not the word used. The word did create it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But Hebrews tells us that by faith or through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. That means this. It means to put in order, to arrange, to complete. It can be applied to that which before had an existence. This is a commentator who wrote this now. He says, it can be applied to that which had before an existence and which is to be put in order or refitted. The meaning here is that they were set in order by the word of God. This implies the act of creation But the specific idea is that of arranging them in the beautiful order in which they are now. And it makes sense. We use the term framed in construction, don't we? If I want to build a house, or if we want to build a building, and by the way, someday we probably ought to look at, in the near future, really putting some effort into building another building, shouldn't we? This morning we noticed that it's hard for the ushers to find places before the kids are dismissed, and even afterwards to find a place for visitors, and so eventually we're going to need to do that. There's a plug for that, okay? All right, so start getting ready your checkbooks, all right? I'm teasing. But listen, if we wanted to build a new building, it's not enough to go down to Menards or wherever, Home Depot or Lowe's, and order the lumber. 2x4s and 2x6s and 4x6s and all the rest, whatever else we would use for the specific structure that we needed. It's not enough to order it and say, all right, bring it over and dump it over here on this property. Now, they'll do that as long as we pay them. They'd be glad to deliver it. But a pile of 2x4s sitting there do not make a building. Somebody must come along, hopefully somebody who knows framing, a framing carpenter, we call them, and they take the blueprints, and they use those blueprints to take those 2x4s and all the other lumber and frame it or put it together in an order that functions and makes sense. That's exactly what God did with His Word, with the material that He created out of nothing. By His Word, He spoke it into existence, and He framed it. He put it together the way that it is now. Which means that as we see the creation, we have to give God glory. The big thing today is climate change. Now, by the way, the climate does change, and it has for a long time. And I wouldn't argue with anyone whether or not, you know, we should pollute the earth or just allow people to do whatever they want. I think it would be wise to be a good steward of the earth that God has created. But here's a promise I have from God's Word, and so do you, that as long as this world is in existence, God will allow that seed time and harvest will still happen, that summer and winter will still come. That's not to say that there won't be such climate change that happens that would cause a place like this to not be as nice as it is for farming or nice for living as it is now. Perhaps that might happen, and perhaps if we pollute the environment, bad things will happen. We've done it before. But here's the promise of God that we have, that seed time and harvest will continue to happen, that summer and winter, the seasons will happen. There is a cycle that God set in order. And all of that happened, why? Because God spoke it into existence. And just like the song that we sang right before the message, "Great is thy faithfulness," that is given to us so that we could look up to the heavens and say, God, you have been wonderful. By your word, you not only created it, you put it in a beautiful form. What a great, loving, gracious, faithful God we have. Sometimes we complain about the way God created us or formed us. But may I remind you what Romans 9 says in verse 20? "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Perhaps your life isn't all that you wanted it to be. Perhaps your health isn't all that you would like it to be. Perhaps bad things have happened to you, and they do in this world because we live in a sin-cursed world. But may I remind you that God is still the one who framed it. And who are you, or who am I, to reply against God and say, God, why did you do this? He's the one who did. He's the framer. And we're to shut our mouths because He's in charge of all things. That leads me to the fourth word that we find in Hebrews 11:3, and that's the word worlds. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Notice the plural. It does not say that the world was. It says that the worlds were, though that's plural. That is a reference to other worlds. What I believe that that is a reference to is this, that God not only created and formed the world that we are in, as in we think of our earth and our heaven, in other words, our atmosphere, but that God created other worlds that we are not aware of. And I'm not necessarily talking about aliens. Some of you are going there, I can tell. I know you well. Now, whether or not those type of things exist, God never mentions them in his word. I don't seem to see that that would be in God's nature, but that's totally up to him, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to worry about what God gave me in his word. I got plenty to worry about there. But I do know this, that there is a spiritual world that he does tell us he created that I can't see, and neither can you. That God even references, doesn't give us lots of information about the spiritual world, but he references principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, that we see it in our world today when our world mocks God and takes every opportunity it can to stand against the living and true God, that hates his word with vitriol and passion. That's because behind this world is a spiritual world. The Bible references the prince of the power of the air. It also references a spirit of Antichrist that is already at work in our world, and we see it, don't we? But remember this, God's the one who framed those worlds. The principalities, the powers, even Satan himself, was brought into existence by the word of God. You might say, well, Pastor, that's confusing. Why would a loving God do that? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? God has a right to do what he wants. It should comfort you and me with this, that Satan cannot touch me, cannot do anything against me that God does not allow. God is in charge. God is the creator of all such. Listen, the beautiful thing about that is, again, like the young man sang before the message, I know who Jesus is. Not only that, but I know him personally. I don't have to fear Satan or any of those other forces. Why? Because I know on a personal basis the creator, the former, the framer of those worlds. And that should give us comfort. Let's turn, if we can, quickly to the book of Revelation. And I'm sorry, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can look up Revelation 21 on your own a little bit later, but 1 Corinthians 15 is where we should turn to. And we'll be quick with this because I do want to get to the last couple of words. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, by the way, is a chapter all about the resurrection. In other words, someday we're going to die, all of us here, and they'll bury our body somewhere, but the Bible tells us that our body will be resurrected and that it will be changed. We don't know what all of that is like, but the Bible references that it will be that way. 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse 35. And let's see here. It says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? What's that going to be like when the dead are raised? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. In other words, if you put a seed in the ground, it has to die first before it germinates. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. You put corn kernel in the ground, if it germinates, it grows another corn kernel. No, a corn stalk. It's a different body. You put one thing into the ground, something else comes out. Why did God do that in nature? Because he wants you and me to see that when we are buried, the resurrected body is going to be different than what we see here. We can't think it's going to be like this. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, another of birds. Okay, so pay attention to that. All flesh is not the same flesh. Your flesh is different than animal flesh. Okay? Your flesh is different than fish flesh. Your flesh is different than bird flesh. God made different types of flesh. But look what it says beyond that. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Going beyond just what we see here, there are bodies that are earthly, but there are bodies that are heavenly. Well, what are those like? I don't know. I know what my body's like. I know what a bird's body is like, but I don't know what the heavenly bodies are like. But God does, and he's the framer of them all. I would encourage you to read the rest of 1 Corinthians 15 on your own sometime. You'll see more about that. But I bring it out to you because I want you to see that God is the one who framed all those worlds. He framed this one, and he framed worlds that we don't see and understand. And at least one of those is the heavenly realm. And God created that. And by the way, as we learned in Sunday school, that's where our sight is to be. That's where our focus is to be. Go back to Hebrews, and let's look at the next word. The next word is the word understand. Understand. And I did not obey my own command. I did not keep my place in Hebrews 11. But the word is understand. It says, through faith we understand. And again, it does not say through faith we know. The word chosen is understand. The reason that is to understand something is more than just to know the facts. You and I might know the facts of creation, and if you're like me and you grew up in church, you were taught from a young age that God created you, and that's a blessing, and young children ought to be taught that. What a crime and a shame and a travesty it is when a society lies to children and tell them that they are just a highly evolved animal. Lie! Children are not highly evolved animals. They're not just a few steps above the apes. They're created by God in His image with His purpose. And listen, it's important for you and me to not only know that, but understand it. There are other synonyms of the word to understand, and they are to perceive, to consider. Those are synonyms of the word to understand. So it's more than knowing, it's perceiving it. It's considering it. It's what Hebrews 11:1 says, which is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm able to perceive something, almost grab a hold of it, but only by faith. The reason that you and I can perceive things that the world cannot perceive is because they only perceive what they can see. But we perceive these things, we understand them through faith. We'll get to that in a minute, but turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 97 is where I'd like you to look. Through faith, we understand. Notice what it says in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. You see, the Christian, the one who believes God's word, the one who takes God at his word, is through faith able to understand something that some scientist who spends all of his time looking at, you know, different evidence and looking at different molecules and this thing and that thing, that they cannot understand. Why? Because they refuse to grab a hold of faith. And somebody who just simply takes God at his word can understand more than his teachers, more than the ancients, those who have lots of letters after their name. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having letters after your name. Nothing wrong with an education. Nothing wrong with studying and working hard and having a degree and having a title. There's nothing wrong with that. And God's people ought to be studious people. But in the end, what's required to understand these things is not education, it's faith. And that's what you and I have. We have another sense that those who don't take God at His word don't have. That leads me to the final word that we want to look at from Hebrews 11, and that's the word faith. The word faith. Through faith, we understand. It is commonly understood that you and I have five senses. Those five senses are sight, hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling. Those senses allow us to interact with the physical world around us. I can sense my environment through my five senses. Now, if somebody is wounded or maybe they are born with some kind of a disability, they maybe wouldn't have one of those or a couple of those senses. Maybe they wouldn't be able to use those. But those are how we interact with the world. And if somebody was born blind, they say that they tend to be much better at hearing than other people because they're relying on that hearing to interact with the world around them, whereas a person with sight would use sight to interact with the world. And we use touch to be able to interact with the world, smelling and tasting, etc. However, for the Christian, there is another way of interacting with the world, but not the physical world. This other sense, if I could call it that, does not interact with the physical world. It interacts with the spiritual world. And that sense is faith. Now, it's not a sense, but at the same time, if we were to use that illustration, it would almost be a sixth sense. It's another way that we can interact with the world, but not the physical world. It's the only way to interact with the spiritual world. You must have faith. And in order to understand the things that God gives us in His Word, you have to be able to interact with the spiritual world. And how can you do that? There's only one way. It's faith. If you try to use tasting or smelling or sight or hearing or whatever else, right, the five senses that we have, you'll never interact with the spiritual world if you're always relying on those. That's why verse 1 of Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It is our other sense. It's the way of interacting with the spiritual world. Famous preacher by the name of F.B. Meyer, he also wrote quite a few books, he said this, "Noah built the ark because he believed that the flood would befall. Abraham left his country because he realized that Canaan would be his. The pilgrims and martyrs of all the ages have been derided by their companions who would have acted similarly if only they had looked with faith into the unseen." Let me read that last part again. "Those who derided them would have acted similarly if only they had looked with faith into the unseen." The preacher goes on to say, "And God never fails such. He always bears witness with His gifts." You and I today are called to look with faith into the unseen. And the very foundational faith that you and I need to have, we need to lay the groundwork of this. The very first one is that God created the world. He spoke it into existence by His Word, and by His Word He framed it. And I want to encourage you to stand firm upon that truth. Don't let anyone shake your faith. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. I realize you won't be able to use your five senses to prove it. But God is calling you to use that other sense, faith, to look beyond the seen into the unseen and take God at His Word. With that said, as we close, the other unseen faith or another unseen faith that you and I need to have in this life is faith in how to have forgiveness of sins. Because I can't see if my sins are forgiven. I can't even trust my feelings as to whether or not my sins are forgiven because I can fool myself into talking myself into feeling good or I can be deceived by a conscience that's defiled. And I can feel guilty for things that I've already been forgiven for. But I have to, by faith, take God at His Word. And I stand before you as one, and hopefully many of you are like me in this, that you can give testimony that I know, by faith, that my sins are forgiven. And if I were to stand before God today, if I were to die today and stand before Him and stand before His judgment seat, that I would be allowed in heaven because my sins are forgiven. And the way that I can stand before you with that confidence is not because I've looked at my life and I've, you know, just talked to my wife, I'm perfect. Okay, don't talk to my wife about that. You don't want to hear the things that I do, okay? I went camping with my kids one night this week, and all of them got up, and they must have said five times in the next day, "Dad, you snore." I'm like, listen, kid, watch it. Right? There's a lot of imperfections in this. But it's not because I'm perfect. It's not because I look at my life and say, well, I'm better than most people, or I'm a religious man. I'm a man of the cloth. Therefore, if anyone gets to go to heaven, it's me. No, that's a lie. I need forgiveness like you need forgiveness. And the way that I know I'm forgiven and on my way to heaven is I, by faith, take God at His word. That Jesus is God's Son who came and lived a perfect, sinless life, was crucified and punished by God for my sin, and that God accepted His sacrifice, rose Him from the grave 3 days later after He had died, and that He now intercedes for me at the right hand of the Father, and my faith is in Him for salvation. As the song said, again, I know Him. Now what about you? You need that faith, because someday you will die and stand before God. So will you stand forgiven? The only way is to believe on Jesus Christ. If you have questions about that, see me at the invitation time when others come and pray. See me at the end of the service. Say, Pastor, I want to know how to have my sins forgiven. Either way, I'll have someone take you aside privately and show you from the Bible how to have your sins forgiven. And I would encourage you to do that. But let's stand to our feet. We're going to close. We're going to have a brief time of invitation. A piano player is going to come to the piano, and she's going to play a hymn of invitation in just a moment. I'm going to pray, and then when she begins playing that hymn of invitation, if God has spoken to your heart about something, maybe it's something I talked about today, maybe it's something I didn't talk about today, maybe you need to come and just thank God for what He's done or whatever, or you have questions about forgiveness, if you'll come forward, if you want to just pray at the altar, we'll leave you there to pray. But at the same time, if you want someone to take you aside and show you from the Bible how you can be forgiven, you come and meet me at the front. I'll have someone take you aside privately. Father, would you please work in this invitation time? Thank you for your word that shows us how you are the creator. Grant us faith to take you at your word. Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice that either has always doubted or has begun to doubt your word regarding creation, Lord, would you take away the lies of the devil, and would you grant them faith to take you at your word? Father, for those of us who are not doubting that, help us to stand strong in our faith and to stand not pridefully or arrogantly, but unashamedly with you. Help us with that, I pray. Lord, would you grant faith to these, your people, in Jesus' name, amen.